It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's May 11th and 12th, depending on when you're listening to this, Mother's Day weekend. So I hope everybody has remembered their mom and their wife. And I know I have, thank God, and sent my mother a card. And she loves when I send the cards that require the extra postage. So I made sure I got one of those. For my running friends, just as a reminder, if you're listening to this, on Saturday, May 11th, there still may be time to go to the Canterbury Shaker Village, and that's where we have the next race of the Capital Hill Race Series. And for those of you that want to do a Sunday run, there's a Moms on the Run on Sunday, May 12th, and that's over at Dover. So now that we're all outdoor, springtime can sometimes result in injuries, and with me is Dr. Steve Coppola, a longtime guest. I've had him on the show with Ken Keel, and I'm filling in for Ken, and also the weekend show. So, Dr. Steve, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy.
It is awesome to be back with you.
So tell us again your background and where your various facilities are, because I know that I make many in the spirit of transparency. When someone's injured, you're the first person that I think of, and probably send a lot of people your way
yes,
that
you
wish I hadn't.
No, I know. They're all good.
So tell us about your background and your shops.
So, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Franklin Pierce University, did my undergrad and my master's at University of Lowell, got a minor in psychology, and, but that seems so long ago, you know, worked for the Celtics trainer back when, and but we opened up our first Coppola Physical Therapy in November 2004, and since then we had six locations. Just opened up another one last week.
In Barrington. Wow. Barrington, so how did you pick Barrington? Just curious.
It was actually one that was already open, and somebody had a little bit of a health scare, and we made a win-win situation out of this for him and for us. So
nice. So when I tore my patella tendon, seems like a long time ago. Really wasn't that long ago, but whatever, 2011. I went to the Pleasant Street location, and I assume that's thriving and doing well.
Yeah. So since you were there, I think we're upstairs now.
Correct.
We bigger, more space and more therapists. We are in all of our locations. Economy's booming in terms of that, and people are understanding that physical therapy is a nice, quick way to get in and learn what you need to learn or get a little bit better and kick you back out into the game.
And you interface with all insurance companies as well as wherever the person might have had the surgery?
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of even just approvals for insurances, we take almost all of them. And, you know, for the ones who don't or don't have insurance, we have a really economical buy-in cash program. Our own Affordable Care Act we have.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. So you could go for 10 visits, pay $650 for 10 visits. That's like $65 a visit. You can't go for a massage to somebody who went to school for a couple of years. You know, we have doctorates, and it's $65 for a visit. That's 40 minutes one-on-one with us.
And I think Dr. Steve is hitting on something there, which is that, all kidding aside, the Affordable Care Act probably will never be affordable health care, but it has definitely improved access. But in the final analysis, it's up to ourselves as individual people to take care of our own wellness. And yes, we might get cancer, which we can't prevent, maybe, and I might have a serious accident. For example, right around Thanksgiving, I slipped on ice extricating the propane driver at the end of my driveway, and I broke three ribs, and like that, was not really preventable. And those things will happen. But putting aside that and cancer, I mean, you can really take care of yourself. And I always say that if we can be proactive, I know, for example, I also try to get to the podiatrist because, when I run so many races that I want, even though my feet are okay, I don't want them to not be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think you hit the nail on the head.
Compensation, too. I mean, you talk about, getting there and being proactive. Somebody has a problem with their toe or their foot. They start putting more pressure on their other leg, and all of a sudden they have plantar fasciitis in their right leg when they were just, nursing a left side. So, physical therapy is so important. And if for nothing else, stopping the compensatory, that compensation injury.
It's so true. I always say this. everything, your left earlobe is off, and all of a sudden then your right toe goes. I mean, seriously, you definitely compensate, you know, and you know that happened to me, you know, and my left leg, I was compensating, and then I tore meniscus in my right knee, which you made me do an MRI.
Yeah, right.
No, in the spirit of transparency, Steve told me not to get the MRI, but I insisted. And then, of course, I found out I had a torn meniscus.
Which we knew.
And which probably at my age, everybody has regardless. So, it was like, why did I do that? But anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. So, okay, so we've had this kind of interesting winter. I talked about, you know, how I slipped and fell. I've heard of more people falling, you know, last winter. It was like one of those winters, if you could get by without falling. It was you probably saw a lot of people.
It was crazy slippery, which is strange, because it wasn't the biggest, right? It wasn't the biggest snowstorms in the world.
It was just slippery.
It was just this kind of black ice or slippery time that people were just, I think it was a little more unexpected, I think, than the big winters when everyone is just knows to go out and put their boots on. I think people are like, oh, I'll just throw my regular shoes on. They go out and they slip and fall. And sure, yeah, we saw a lot of those. And that's tough because in an instant, as you know, it changes your life.
Yeah.
Your work life, your home life, your relationships, in an instant.
Yeah, it's so true. Well put. I remember one of those days I was at an event and the person I was with said, if I can get by today without falling down, I'll be happy. That was the objective of the day. All right. So now, theoretically, we're starting to see spring. And of course, now we start some raking, and that's rainy, but spring is kind of here. So tell us about some of the, what spring brings on after you, you know, basically may have been a little bit cooped up in the winter.
Well, and let's just backstep, because we're just talking about all these injuries, and let's just talk about with springtime injuries, even with winter injuries, you always hear about rice. So we should start there. And I'm not talking about cooking rice, right? You've heard rice before, right?
Sure.
Rest, ice, compression, elevation. But what does it really mean and how do you really do it? You know, rest and the portion of rest, at least rest the activity that you're doing that's bothering the activity, right? At least do that. So rest that. If it doesn't mean that you have to go on bed rest because you have a shoulder injury, but it might mean that if you're throwing, you're playing racquetball, that you rest and not play racquetball. But acutely, you know, you want to rest it. Ice, how long do you think people should ice for? That's always the big question, you know? And the real answer is 20 to 30 minutes. You do it any longer than that, A, you could get frostbite. I mean, that's always a possibility for some people, depending on what putting it on. There's also, it's a strange thing, is when you keep ice on for a long period of time, it's supposed to constrict the blood vessels, which you want it to do, and have less blood flow getting in there and be able to affect the tissues. You leave it on too long, you actually get the opposite effect, and it vasodilates, and it rushes blood to that area, which can actually...
I love when you use big words like vasodilate. Can you explain vasodilation?
Yeah, it causes the arteries to actually expand or get larger, and so more blood flow will go that area, as opposed to vasoconstriction, which is what you want when you're first putting ice on.
Yeah, so 20 minutes is really what
20 minutes, yeah, 20 minutes. I love frozen peas. Tell people to buy some frozen peas, take them out, ice down their shoulder, knee, whatever, and then throw it back in the freezer again. Just don't eat the peas.
So this, I actually had this in my notes to ask you about, so it would be a nice segue. So sometimes after a road race, I'll actually get into a hot tub, not right after, but like maybe 2 hours. So ice versus like something like a hot tub. Tell us when do you do which? I mean,
you can never go wrong with ice, almost never. You can go wrong with heat. If you have something that you injured, say you did run and you injured yourself and you decided a half hour later to go into the hot tub, that increases the blood supply, vasodilation, increases the blood supply
to
that area.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that will actually cause more swelling. And if you have a lot of swelling in an area, obviously that can cause havoc. You can end up with something called compartment syndrome, where the compartments in each muscle has a fascia around it. And if that gets too much blood inside it, you can actually kill the muscle that's inside there. So you just got to be careful that after you injure yourself that you don't go jump in into a hot tub or something. But most of the time, You can walk it off. You're feeling all right going into a hot tub afterwards. Obviously, make sure you're well hydrated. I want to say that Some people after the race are not hydrated enough, and they'll go in and they can pass out or put themselves.
Yeah, that's one thing I've learned about hydrate. And when you're running the longer races, even if I'm not feeling thirsty,
right,
forcing myself to drink at the water stop.
And I've reminded you too that with age, not that you're old, but all of us, as we age, we lose our thirst mechanism, which means we just don't feel as thirsty as we used to when we were younger. And that doesn't get better with exercise. It doesn't get better. It's just a natural part of the aging process, which is very interesting. Okay.
Nothing like aging, Steve. Jeez. So, you know, you mentioned compartment syndrome. For some reason, that's been coming up a lot. I've heard a lot of. So tell us can you get that if you're, you know, when your foot falls asleep or something like that? I mean, how does that actually happen?
Usually happens from a blunt trauma or something that's so overused, and the swelling happens, and that swelling in that fascia just really puts pressure on the muscle, and the muscle doesn't get the nutrients that it needs to. The oxygen can't get to it. And so, in fact, it causes immense, incredible pain, and then ultimately would kill it. So the treatment to that is they actually take a surgical scalpel and they cut the fascia, and they cut right down your leg, which, you know, it leaves a very long scar. Usually it happens in the lower leg or even in the upper leg is the places where I've historically seen patients come in that have that. And now you have to work with a huge scar for that person, right? So now they have a huge scar that went through their muscle and through the fascia. And so, again, that's you're working with scar tissue issues.
The domino effect.
So it is.
Before the commercial break, tell us again your contact information and your location in Concord.
Sure. Oh, we get two in Concord. I'm located at the 171 Pleasant Street, 228-7500. Yeah.
How about your website?
My website, www.coppola, that's C-O-P-P-S and Peter, O-L-A. So C-O-P-P-O-L-A-P-T, is in physicaltherapy.com.
And it's the same spelling as Francis Ford Coppola, right?
It is.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Dr. Steve Coppola this weekend, May 11th and 12th. Happy Mom's Day for all the mothers out there. And again, for my running friends, Saturday, May 11th is the Canterbury Shaker Village Run. Very beautiful run through the woods, hills, the cows, the animals. You get to see Canterbury Shaker Village, and then on Mother's Day itself, we have Moms on the Run in Dover. And one of my longtime friends and partners and great man is Dr. Steve Coppola. And we were talking about some of the injuries. So let's get back to that and compression and so forth.
Oh, rice. Everyone talks about rice. So we talked about rice rest. We talked about icing, 20 minutes on. Then you probably want to take at least 20, 30 minutes off before you ice again. So that's a common thing. I talked about frozen peas, compression. You don't want something that's so compressed that, you know, let's just say you have a lower leg injury. You don't want to put a compression stocking on or ace wrap on that's so tight that you can't, your toes go cold or numb. You need to loosen it up or take it off. So, you know, some people get themselves in trouble because they wrap it around so tight thinking it gives them support. Well, you don't want to give it so much support that you end up cutting off the circulation. And then elevation, you know, getting it up over the heart when you can. Now, not everything you can do that with, but a lot of things. If you can get it up over the heart, it actually brings the swelling back down and out and circulated through the body. So try it when you can anyways.
Great. Before we get back into some of these other things like Achilles tendonitis, talk about what you've seen. I've asked you this question before, like sort of the transformation or the evolution of PT and what you see of people being more proactive now.
Yeah.
You've been around, I mean, you're definitely younger than me, but you've been around enough to sort of see some
50.
Sort of transformation. What have you seen, like when you first started to practice versus now?
Yeah, when I first started to practice, gosh, you know, you would await a doctor's order, and that doctor would tell you what to do and how to do it, and most of that was stretching and strengthening exercises, heat, ultrasound. We called them hummus. Heat, ultrasound, massage. If you were in a hospital, everyone got heat, ultrasound, massage, and then get some stretching, strengthening. It's come so far from that now. We do trigger point dry needling where someone has a trigger point in a muscle. We take an acupuncture needle and put it into the muscle, get it to fire, and causes a relaxation effect. I mean, what would take 6, 7, 8 visits before we can do in 1 or 2 visits now? I mean, it's just come that far. We can use diagnostic ultrasounds now, a little ultrasound that actually can see into the body, into the muscle, and we can watch where we put that needle. So that's becoming, it's going to become popular. You're going to see over the next 5 or 10 years is this diagnostic ultrasound for trigger point dry needling. And also you can see injuries as well. I mean, swelling and that stuff. So it's nice to be eyes through the body instead of just trying to use your hands, for sure.
Although you have a good way of seeing through the body, because you knew I had that meniscus tear. Don't do it, Tom. Don't get that MRI. But Tommy couldn't control himself. So maybe. What about technology? It seems like everything's so connected, like I was saying before the break, regardless of what surgeon you used or what hospital system you're in. It seems like, I know when I was there, like you or your team would have their laptop and they knew exactly what was prescribed or whatever, regardless of what medical system I was involved with.
Yeah. So different places have different EMRs, electrical medical records, that some associate with the hospital, some associate with the doctors. Even if they don't, we can scan things through now much quicker, obviously. So having electrical medical records allows us to spend more time with the patient instead of the paperwork, you know, for the most part. That said, when that initial evaluation, when you first come in, there's quite a bit of paperwork that we have to get done. So that consumes a lot of time. But be able to give a doctor a note, or have a doctor's note come to you that's actually legible compared to when I graduated, and you legitimately could not read a doctor's note, and they probably, to be honest, couldn't read mine either. So there was probably a lot of just scanning over a note and saying, geez, I can't read it, and just going about, you know, now you have that really that true cohesion if it's between your providers that you probably didn't have as much before. You relied on maybe if you talked to the doctor or you saw him.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you a professional development question. So you now have 7 locations. You mentioned the one in Concord, of course. You just opened up the one in Barrington and several other locations. So how do you balance your first love? Still must be client or patient care. But being responsible for 7 locations, you probably have to make site visits and do, for lack of a better term, a certain amount of paperwork. So how do you balance that?
So I treat one day a week. And
make a point.
Yeah, I treat one day a week on Tuesdays.
Including the people I recommend to
you. Absolutely. Yep. So I treat one day a week, and then the other days a week, it really works on just making sure that we have some type of consistency throughout all our clinics. That there's so that you can walk into any clinic and you're going to have a certain amount of consistency. You'll be seen for 40 minutes. It will be one-on-one care. There will be this type of paperwork. Making sure that every physical therapist gets as well educated in everything that we do. So we send them out on a lot of courses, and we do a lot of in-house courses where we'll close down the clinic and do a 2 or 3 day
course.
Yeah,
and I've participated in some of your
strategic planning. Yes, yeah, and our retreats.
Well.
Yeah,
retreats. So you really have a Coppola brand, really, for lack of a better term.
We do, and I think it's come from having a great great reputation and it's by doing the right things. In the beginning, it really is, we say you deserve to feel your best. That's our catchphrase, and we truly live by you deserve to feel your best. So
well, if we get that service mark, Steve, or I might steal that. Yeah. my oral health, the mouth is part of the body, you know. So give us your website again.
www.coppolapt.com, coppolapt.com.
Now I know I mentioned some of my friends I was interviewing, and they definitely want to talk about plantar fasciitis. Before we get into that, are you still doing your comedy stuff?
My hypnosis stuff. So I think at the beginning of this year, January, I finally let it go. I finally just can't.
It's too much.
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching up at Plymouth State next month, and I'm preparing for that, and I'm learning diagnostic ultrasound stuff. And a lot on my plate, and as much as I love it and I enjoyed it, it was more my hobby and fun than it was, my profession. So,
and having gone to, many of those, it was fun. And give me the 30 seconds in terms of hypnosis that, like, don't worry, if you really don't want to jump off the cliff, even if the...
Can't be forced. You can resist anything. You don't have to. You can accept or reject a suggestion. We do it all the time. Right. When I give advice, somebody will either accept or reject that. So in some ways... You are doing that. You're just doing it on a conscious level. But on a subconscious level, you if you trust me, you'll allow me to put suggestions in that you'll accept. And usually those are good suggestions, nothing dangerous by any means.
Now, you're a Franklin Pierce grad, right?
My doctorate was from Franklin Pierce. I went back later on in 2007 just to get it because everyone who worked for me was giving me a doctorate.
Well, that's great. And I say that because last May I got an honorary degree there, and that program is thriving.
It sure is.
So it's great to see. It's a beautiful school. It's a Ringe. It's a long drive. It's beautiful when you get there. Beautiful air. It's actually just out there not too long ago. And so
I'm adjunct over there. So I go over there one or two days, couple times a year to teach a few hour courses on trigger point dry needling and things of that nature. And we accept a ton of their students. So we do that consistently. And then we hire, I'm going to say 75% of our staff touched Franklin Pierce in one way or the other. Yes. They went to grad or undergrad or something there.
Well, Kim Mooney, the president, she's great. So now let's turn.
Spring injuries, is that for you?
Yes. Let's turn to plantar fasciitis, because I've had that once. And, oh my God, it was horrible. But you prescribed the boot and wore that for a while. And then to bed. My wife thought I was crazy. But it went away. So tell us about that.
Well, I'll say that this is kind of a common time for runners to get plantar fasciitis, because during the winter, you're running either on a treadmill or you're limited running. Now, summer or springtime is amongst us. So people are increasing, they're getting off the treadmill. And believe it, as you know, there's a completely different gait on a treadmill to being off of a treadmill. I actually, as you know, I run now, and I cannot and do not run on a treadmill. It's just very strange cadence and strange feeling, and it's uncomfortable for me. I'll do the elliptical when I go to the gym, and then when I can run on the road, I actually run on the road. You know, there's a difference when you get on the road and you have wind resistance and you have, very need for oxygen, and the terrain is all different. You're running on the road, and then you get to jump off the road because a big 18 wheel is coming at you. And so there's a lot going on. And because of the high impact on a road, typically what can happen is you can get micro tears in the fascia. It's a thick fascia. I don't know how else to explain it, like a tendinogenous, collagenous material that goes from under your heel.
Love those big words.
Up to your toes. And so at night, you may, let most people do, they lay on their sides and they curl up into a fetal position and their toes kind of curl. And so it shortens that fascia that you get plantar fascia, the bottom of your foot. And then you get up in the middle of the night or in the morning, and when you step down, your toes spread and you re-tear that plantar fascia. And so it's this continual kind of issue for people. So we put people like yourself, we put you in a boot so that your toes don't curl and you don't shorten your Achilles tendon over the nighttime, so that now it gets a chance to heal in an elongated position. We also like to make sure that people have good arch support. If you don't have good arch support when you're running and you're collapsing down, again, that's really a big pull on that plantar fascia. So we want people to make sure that they have some arch support. You know, back in the 50s, the basketballs and stuff, there was never arch support in any shoe. But fortunately now, a lot of shoes, most shoes have them.
Dr. Steve, thank you for joining me this weekend. Can I have your website again?
www.coppolapt.com. And I appreciate you having me on again.
Steve's awesome, and I highly recommend him. I will see you, I will talk to you next week. My running friends, I will see you at Canterbury on Saturday and maybe Dover on Sunday.